Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us as we head home to Death Before Dishonor. This is your ROH and TNA post show for Thursday, July 25th already. Where does the time go? I'm joined, of course, by SP3. He was stirring it up right before we went on. I love that. I love that for us. But we are closing in on this pay-per-view. The card is finally taking shape. We had some announcements that came with some implications from what happened tonight, but we're going to get into all of that and more. So please send us your super chats, no humper chats for this side of the show, just super chats if you'd be so kind. And please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. We thank Scott Watkins for becoming a new member.
Hey.
Hell yeah. We always appreciate that. We encourage you to subscribe. You'll get notifications about things like Sean randomly doing a broadcast because we got an out of nowhere announcement that it looks like WrestleMania is headed to London. So check out that stream that Sean did earlier tonight. And we'll, of course, remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much going on in the wrestling landscape. Those contracts keep coming, baby. We're going to see what more develops. ROH news, very possible we get some stuff coming out of Death Before Dishonor. There is a scrum after, so hopefully we hear a little bit more about what's in store for the renewed creative effort of this brand that we love. So much to talk about. And of course, going to be updates on the Warner deal as well. So keep an eye out on FightfulSelect.com. You can also hop in the Discord if you want to talk with normal people that in a more controlled environment than, say, Twitter, where Lord knows what you might see on Twitter or X, but head over into the Discord. I'm going to start doing, I did a couple of them, but for ROH, we'll start doing some more like Q&A stuff before those streams start as well. I was doing them at like 6:30. We'll do another Q&A again. Maybe I'll drag SP3 in there, but we have SP3. We have the Ring of Honor loyalist. We talked in depth about predictions on the True Heel Heat podcast, so go check that out. We'll give you a rundown, of course, about what we think the highlights of Death Before Dishonor are going to be, but
because now we have more matches to discuss too, because we only knew like five for sure.
We did. We got some late night announcements at midnight, but how are you feeling headed into this card, and what did you think about tonight's episode overall tonight?
We got a longer episode, but I kind of expected that. I even asked Kate like earlier in the day. I was like, how long do you think this episode is going to be? Because I saw the lineup and I was like, I think this episode is going to be a longer one. So I was happy with that, though, because it helped to shape out the card. We got some angles, got some promos that also helped out the card. Got a new member of the board of directors. So this felt like a more noteworthy show than we're used to from Ring of Honor. So I enjoyed it.
It definitely did. And I just right away noticed too, this enhanced presentation of actually being in one place just looked better, just felt better in so many different ways. When a crowd is there to see Ring of Honor and it's not AEW Collision, Sloppy Seconds, or I'll use another not so PG term. They're not like fluffers over there. We don't have sponsors on the show. Okay. I can say whatever I want up here. It is a really, really big difference when the crowd is there to actually see that promotion rather than they're filtering in or exhausted. Especially when you don't have like a Dalton Castle available right now. Right. So overall, how do you feel about like the in one place tapings? I felt like the crowd had way more energy because they were there to see ROH. Crazy concept.
Yeah, it is crazy how it looked. But I mean, I really enjoyed this setup, the set for in Arlington. It very much gives you kind of like the Universal Studios kind of feel that we got at the beginning of ROH TV on Honor Club. Like just the look and the feel of it was very good. We got bigger stars on the show. Like Claudio was back on this show, so that was nice to see. Leo Rush made his return to Ring of Honor. Even had some like AEW favorites making their return, like Fuego del Sol. And the crowd, like you said, was very vibrant. And I saw that during Collision. I was hoping that would go across to ROH TV, and it definitely did on this first occasion. And I think these matches were taped during last Saturday's Collision show, but
that was a hot crowd. Yeah,
the crowd was still into the, you know, the ROH stuff as well as the AEW stuff. And now we're gonna see probably after this coming, you know, ROH Death Before Dishonor tomorrow, we're going to see more isolated where the crowds are just there for Ring of Honor TV. So I think it's only going to get better being in one isolated place, like you said.
I agree. It felt like they knew they were there for something that might be like in a fresh era. So let's hope that momentum continues as we go into this pay-per-view and hopefully coming out of it, because the pay-per-views always deliver. That is half the problem in a weird way. So we will see. And again, this is not technically a pay-per-view because it is included with your subscription of Honor Club. Very intrigued to see what happens as we close in on that Warner deal as well, if we're going to be getting that moved to Max or what that might look like. But let's dive into tonight's episode because it is a little bit supersized, as SP3 mentioned, but some good stuff here. And we start kind of with this promo from the Undisputed Kingdom. And they are backstage talking and telling Mark Briscoe that he needs to keep his head in the game. And this was all a trap that we get. But more importantly, we get an announcement that Paul White is on the board of directors. And we get an announcement that they actually are going to have a match because they were looking for a sick night off. They were very happy about that fact. What did you think kind of this little opener that we had?
This was very interesting because we saw Mark following Blood and Guts, which he put on a great performance. Like Mark Briscoe, I said it on an AEW review earlier today that Mark Briscoe is probably the most lovable babyface in all of professional wrestling. Like there's just something him. Like, and I also described this to my friend Jimmy when we were watching Dynamite Live yesterday, that Mark Briscoe is the closest thing to comedy and still being a badass babyface that we've seen since like 2001, 2002 Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like Austin being hilarious and also the badass babyface. Like Mark Briscoe gets that essence. He might not be as big of a star as Stone Cold Steve Austin, but the essence of that, of comedy being hilarious and also being a badass babyface and just being beloved by everybody. He just got it. Like the backstage promo that he did with Team AEW into what he did in Blood and Guts, where he just thrived in that whole type of environment, being in the bloody violence, and then seeing him in the aftermath where you could see the adrenaline kind of wore down as he comes backstage. He's all got the dry blood in his face. And I like Bennett kind of taking to that, seeing that he was kind of coming down from the adrenaline, getting him eased down, getting his guard down before Taven and Roddy came in to kind of taunt him and attack him afterwards. And then I like the transition from that promo, from that little scene after Blood and Guts to the promo here where Paul White is like, hey guys, you guys are not going to have the day off. You're actually going to be facing two former Ring of Honor champions in former television champion Tomohiro Ishii and a world champion, a former tag team champion numerous times with Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, the conglomeration. So you attack one member of the conglomeration, you go and get the rest of the conglomeration. I'm ready for this matchup, even though this is another instance of kind of an AEW act coming over to ROH. They kind of already built to this, though, in a way. Like, they've been really kind of feuding with each other, Undisputed Kingdom and the conglomeration, for a couple of months now before Forbidden Door. Pretty much this whole kind of rivalry of them going back at it with each other has really started since the conglomeration came together, and it was Mark Briscoe's word of the day. So it kind of makes sense that that was kind of the easiest thing for them to make a Ring of Honor World Tag Team title matchup. And I'll be very interested with the result, because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Undisputed Kingdom will retain.
We got a super chat here that said ROH post never runs from the grind. We do not. SP3 and I have had a couple of long weeks, but we are here for it. Here's to both of you. Looks like reports of ROH getting some love may be true. Here's to ROH on a WBD property. It seems inevitable after hearing TK today. Yeah, there was a media call earlier in the day. I'm hoping, but I've hoped before. I can't get my hopes fully up because we've been down this road before. If there's a major development, meaning that the tapings are stationary, or there are multiple big free agent signings, or there is some indication that rosters are separate, then maybe I'll get excited, because it's never to do with the talent. It's never to do with the matches. It's never to do with production, really. It's the commentary team is my favorite duo in the game, right? It is simply booking, roster separation, have your champions around. It is so easy to fix this product. And so I'll get excited once an actual move is made. But I am hopeful, because it feels like hopefully there's, you know, if there's network investment behind it, that would be an indicator, right? That would show us that they have a reason to have a bigger stake in it. But to the point you just made, cool. I can't wait to see KOR and Ishii. That sounds like a blast. If I'm the infantry, why the hell do I care about what the results are of my matches are right now? If I'm the Iron Savages, why do I care what the hell of my results are right now, of my matches are right now? I don't even know if I'm in a tag team or a trio, and the trios belts don't exist anymore.
We did get an announcement of sorts. You kind of, if you blinked, you missed it, but it was announced later in the show. Yeah, you probably blinked and missed it. Don't worry. This is why I'm here, folks. The winner of Dustin Rhodes and Devon Erics, Dustin Rhodes and Devon Erics versus Dark Order at Death Before Dishonor, it's an eliminator matchup, and they will face the Undisputed Kingdom on Battle of the Belts on Saturday to determine new Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions. So that's why I said, like, with the tag team title matchup, it's not a foregone conclusion that Undisputed Kingdom will win, because Undisputed Kingdom can easily lose the tag titles and then still wind up champions at the end of the weekend, because they are getting a shot at the six-man tag team titles. Or a more pleasing scenario, because it's an actual storyline in Ring of Honor, oh my God, is Roddy wins against Mark Briscoe. The Undisputed Kingdom retains against Kyle O'Reilly and Tomohiro Ishii, and then they beat Dustin and Devon Erics or the Dark Order on Saturday. They will have all the gold, pretty much, in Ring of Honor on the men's side. Like, that would be very interesting.
And they have to be on the show, right? If they have all the gold, I would imagine they have to show up on the damn episode. So that would be nice. But we get some more love from you guys. Get in those super chats and humper chats. I always appreciate when I see the numbers going up from when I make those announcements at the beginning of the show. But Shea Monster saying TMD Kate, SP321 Claymore. My God. The photo is real, cry as a river. I love Ishii and KOR. It's storyline related, but I don't like this match. Gates of Agony are undefeated. PS, EJ, and Duka equals money. We are going to talk about that, because he looked awesome tonight. That's another thing that makes me maybe a little bit more hopeful, is like, maybe there are talent that are actually being earmarked for the show. That would be really, really nice. So some good stuff there, but let's keep the train rolling. We've got a lot to talk about. If there's anything you have questions about regarding Death Before Dishonor or tonight's show, send in those super chats and we will chat at you about it. But that was a fun way to open the show. And then we head into the Blackpool Combat Club. Claudio Castagnoli and your ROH Pure Rule champion Wheeler Yuta beating Shane Taylor Promotions, Agogo, and Lee Moriarty in this. with Shane Taylor via pinfall. You get the King Kong Lariat from Castagnoli on Yuta. Yuta and Moriarty kind of... Yeah. I'm sorry, on a go-go. My notes are all are mixed up here. Yeah, I, even as I was saying that, I was like, what?
I heard the pause, so I was like, I'll fill it.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. But what I meant to say was Yuta and Moriarty get into it after the match. I think maybe this is a positive sign, even though Claudio was the one with the pin here, that wrestling Matt tells you the guy on the other side is going to get the win, right? So this was a really fun match. Claudio was out there. We got to see him back in ROH. He does the swing. Everybody's happy. This match was super fun. I think it would go a long way if Lee Moriarty won, and I feel like the Blackpool Combat Club adds by subtraction here, right? If Wheeler is free from that title, he can just be clean in Blackpool Combat Club storylines, whatever that's going to look like, but they're just too fundamental to the main roster at this point. However, we said this already, I think this has a contender to be match of the night for sure. I'm a pure rules nerd, so I'm biased in that, but Wheeler and Lee, I think, are going to show out. They did in that Proving Ground match, which was excellent. And I think this is good because I feel like how much Jon Moxley hasn't been around and how much we aren't fully using Claudio, that means something's coming up. Like that, hopefully there's plans that they're just like getting rested for kind of here. But let's clean this up. Let's get some gold on Lee Moriarty. Would also go a long way in making Shane Taylor Promotions feel like a big deal, in my opinion. What says you about this match and where you think we're going with Lee and Wheeler here?
Yeah, a good opener to the show. Arguably the best match that we saw on the show. I thought all the guys kind of worked well with each other. Even Anthony Ogogo, who's kind of had the least experience of everyone involved, he looked good in this one going at it with Claudio, taking that swing like a champ. He had to tuck his arms in like he was on a roller coaster as he took that swing. But
presence, man. He really does in spades. I'm excited to see him progress in the ring because I think he's got a lot of charisma for sure.
Yeah, the only downside to you, I really want Lee to win this Pure Championship. I think we're both on board with Lee winning tomorrow night. The only thing that kind of put some doubt in my eyes is the post-match with Shane Taylor punching Wheeler Yuta in the face. They can use that as the reason why Wheeler Yuta is off his game tomorrow and loses the Pure Championship, but there's also Wrestling 101 of the people that stand tall at the end of the last show before the pay-per-view usually are not going to win at the pay-per-view. So it can go either way, but I like that. I like a matchup that is less predictable.
Yeah, I think the pinfall being on the other side, that's where I'm trying to keep the math at. But I get what you're saying is the guys that stood tall are there. But I do think you're right that that could be used as a way to kind of protect Wheeler in the loss here. But feeling dreepy with the chat saying Lexi proved her strength of Athena's minion training by being the best, most unbiased interviewer ever tonight. I can only assume she's watching Nigel McGuinness as far as like tips on how to be unbiased because she really was straight down the middle. I don't understand why Ian and Caprice were questioning that, but she really did a great job tonight, I think, in a very fair, unbiased, journalistic integrity way. I mean, people have said Fightful is not credible, so who am I to make such a judgment? But it, to me, read as really unbiased. But we get her interviewing Red Velvet and Queen Aminata here, and I don't know why, but it seems like both Queen Aminata and Red Velvet hesitated at answering the extremely fair questions. Lexi definitely didn't move on too fast from asking them.
She gave them plenty of time.
I was sitting there like, this is why this episode was longer than usual tonight. It wasn't the amount of matches or that it was a go home. It was that Lexi gave them so much time to answer and they just didn't. So I don't know what that was about, but Queen Aminata brutally ripping the microphone away from Lexi Nair and says that bitch got what she deserved. So much of the B word under the AEW umbrella lately with the women's division, but Athena appears on the ramp. She gets carried by security to the ring. I don't understand how she's medically cleared for this match. She's clearly not okay, but she tells Queen Aminata she wasn't ready for the opportunity and that they responded And they responded calling them two lottery lot lizards. My goodness. Billy Starks attacking both of them with the coolest hair ever. She's so cool, man. And Aminata and Velvet firing back. Good stuff here. Aminata grabbing Nair by the hair. All my minions just being so disrespected on here. But Athena hitting Aminata with her walking boot before hitting Velvet with the boot as well. And Athena says it's going to be a war on Death Before Dishonor tomorrow. Man, I think Athena's winning, but I've thought that mostly because it's been reinforced to us over the other times I've thought she wasn't going to be winning. But this one I really feel like can go either way, and it makes it so much more fun. Like, I really think this could end up either way because there's so much intrigue with both Billy and Athena holding the titles. But it does feel like we're pushing to that 600-day reign mark that you mentioned on True Heel Heat yesterday, and commentary bringing that up. Such integrity when they talk about her reign. It makes me so happy. But this was a fun little segment, man. Queen Aminata is a queen. Like, just the perfect name for that woman. Her presence is just command, command, command with every cell in her body and every inflection that she has. Absolutely loved it. What were your thoughts on the segment? The crowd was a little iffy for it, but I think they warmed up as we kind of got into it.
So, you know, this is how unbiased Kate is, because I'm over here getting emotional because, like, you know, Kate is so unbiased. She had to tell you everything. I have tears almost running in my eyes.
I cried just like while I was watching it. I just got it out of my system.
Because Athena can walk. She can walk.
It's a miracle.
She can walk, y'all. Like, I don't know. Like, Kate undersold it because she's so unbiased. She's so unbiased, but Athena can walk. It was one of the most amazing things that I think I've ever seen in my life. Someone who has bipolar disorder of the leg, and they are able to walk, take off their brace, and, you know, show Queen Aminata and Red Velvet the pain that she has been able to walk with. She has been able to persevere with. She had to wrestle in Prestige, that independent promotion that outlaw mug show, slinging mud at her against Masha Slamovich, and then that tyrant Tony Khan. I know you're watching, Tony. I know you're watching it. What you doing to Athena? It's horrible.
We're calling the FBI.
She perseveres, and she's walking. She walked, ladies and gentlemen. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
Biblical miracles don't hold a candle to what we saw.
I was going to say, it was like when Jesus walked across water.
Yeah,
like it was amazing what we saw. And you're absolutely right. Queen Aminata has so much presence. She has an aura to her. She's one of the great young stars in all of Ring of Honor, AEW, and all of wrestling today. And Red Velvet just seems so comfortable next to Queen Aminata, and they make a great act together. But Athena can walk. And Billy Starks can, for Athena to walk, Billy Starks can run. And she ran to the hair salon, and they got the nice glowing hair, and she's looking like Athena. She's dressing like Athena. They have matching outfits on. I am so emotionally touched. I need a moment. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I got all my crying out before because I knew I had to come on here and deliver the news.
You're so unbiased.
I am. I learned from the greats. I learned from Nigel. I feel like Lexi's performance just proves that blondes are better at everything. So I will say it is a miracle. Death before dishonor. This was like miracles before mayhem is what I would say. We should change the name of this storied pay-per-view to that, because that's where we're at right now. And here's the thing. You're going to hear all of these emotional, incredible stories of the human nature when the Olympics roll into town, right? You're going to hear about Simone Biles, and you're going to hear about all these incredible swimmers, Katie Ledecky, all these people accomplishing these unbelievable feats. But like on a scale of one to minion tonight, those are going to be at like a four. So I just don't want you to be disappointed by the Olympics. So I'm trying to control your expectations now.
I appreciate you for that.
We got a super chat here from Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo. Thank you for your service, saying, do you think Atlantis retains? I think Shane getting strapped and Lee winning the Pure gives them some instant credibility. Now, I love that idea. And I think you and I even talked about that idea, but it just feels so bizarre. Kyle Fletcher is still being billed as from ROH, even though he's doing so much on the AEW product right now. So I don't know what the hell's going on, but I would love it. I would love for Shane Taylor Promotions to feel like a big deal. I would love for them to be rewarded with what we have going on in ROH because they are consistently super, super over. What do you think we're going to get out of this TV title match?
It should be very, very good. I mean, the first survival of the series for survival of the fittest, excuse me. I said survival of the series. Survival of the fittest that we saw for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship at, I believe it was Final Battle, was a fantastic matchup. And, you know, that crowned Kyle Fletcher as the new champion. You could kind of repeat that with having a new champion be crowned here in this latest Survival of the Fittest. And I think that Shane Taylor is a candidate to kind of get that victory. I think, you know, Leo Rush has a chance to get that crucial victory, but I think I'm gonna go with Atlantis. I think I'm gonna think Atlantis is gonna retain for now, but I would like Atlantis to feud with Shane Taylor coming out of Death Before Dishonor. I think that would be the right move. And yes, put a title on Shane Taylor. I really want to see Shane Taylor go after the Ring of Honor World Championship, since we got a promo last week of him calling out Mark Briscoe for that title, and then you put him in Survival of the Fittest. And Tony was like, calm down, sir. I'll give you a title match. I heard your promo. I'm sorry I didn't give you a call when your
sorry
daughter
about
was scared
Beryl.
Of the dark. You know, sorry about Beryl. Sorry about your daughter being scared of the dark. He has a Ring of Honor World Television Championship match.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens in that picture because we have seen Shane Taylor make everything feel important. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't want them to forget about the work they put into Lee Johnson. I don't want them to forget about the people that have been there this entire time. But we've got some exciting stuff coming up for sure. But let's talk some Naduka, because man, this I think was one of the best things on the show. We got to see him in action. What a showing for him. Absolutely loved him. John Cruz just always showing so valuable in these spots. Far more than Serpentico, no offense. We see him on the show as well, but like John Cruz.
Yeah, he looked familiar. Like, John Cruz looked familiar in this matchup.
He does. I think he's really good friends with Nyla. So if you've seen them like on social media, you've probably seen like them just like palling around or whatever. But this match was super, super fun. Just like incredible amount of strength in that dude that kind of sneaks up on you in a way. Cause I wouldn't say he's like a body dude, but he definitely is super strong, super agile, just immediately gives you don't mess with me vibes, right? Like really, really good stuff. He gets the win with the Exodus bomb over John Cruz here. John Cruz just incredible at walking into situations like this and getting really great matches out of people. Like, so, so valuable in the role that he plays in wrestling and ROH. You need him to make Samojo look amazing in a walkaway spot, he's going to give you the facial expression as he's diving to the floor. You need EJ to look good. You need a luchador to look good. Like, his versatility and what he's able to do with his mind in a match to make other people look good is really, really undervalued. And I just always try to give him flowers on this show for that. Cause I think he's really excellent at something that almost shouldn't get recognized if he's doing his job well. Right. Like That's such a weird thing. It's almost like a referee or an umpire. Like if they're doing their job properly, you almost don't notice what it is. Cause it's kind of making your opponent look great and making yourself look good in the process so that when they beat you, it looks like they beat something or someone of value. Right. So just really impressive stuff here, but this was a show out for EJ. Very, very exciting stuff. Very happy to see him around, hoping we see him around more. hoping we're seeing consistency with the talent that appears. But what did you think of this?
EJ Nduka, it just has star written all over him. From his look, the way he moves in the ring is very surprising for a man his size, like that big running shoulder block. He kind of flew across the ring on John Cruz. And like you said, John Cruz is probably the best enhancement talent in all of ROH and AEW. He just knows how to kind of make his opponent look as great as possible. And he made EJ look good here. He showed off great strength with his finishing move, great strength throughout the matchup with the suplexes, holding him up for 10 seconds and then tossing him across the ring. It was just crazy. And it, like, when he first made the jump to from leaving WWE and then going to MLW, where in WWE he didn't really get that much shine. I think maybe he was on like dark matches, or maybe he was on an NXT matchup that I don't remember, but I instantly, when I saw him in MLW, I was like, how did they not see the value in this guy? This guy has WWE superstar written all over him, and now MLW had the opportunity to take advantage of that. They did to a point. I think he was an MLW tag team champion over there, but now you got him in, you know, Ring of Honor. I think that Tony needs to kind of push this guy, give him a couple of big, you know, enhancement wins, a big showcase wins, but then put him in some type of storyline, put him in the TV title division. He's a guy that you can make one of the stalwarts of Ring of Honor before, you know, before long, you might see him on an AEW television. I still would like to see him kind of show up. If Swerve has another weigh-in, Swerve can have some muscle behind him like he did with EJ during the segment with Will Ospreay before Forbidden Door. But I want to see EJ kind of be one of the guys that they're building up and showcasing on Ring of Honor after this debut. Very impressive debut for him.
Very impressive indeed. Also, something today made it feel like he would be fun to see under Pure Rules. I would not mind him and Lee, because I feel like sometimes when you get the right guy who's unorthodox to that style, but you put them in that context, you get some really exciting stuff. Like, I never thought of Mike Bennett as a pure wrestler, and he had a really incredible pure match, and I think against Josh Woods, if I remember correctly. So just really, really fun stuff in those contexts. But like, if you want to make the pure division feel important, putting some new Hallmark talent in there, I think, is a good call. Great. Speaking of new talents coming around, you know what's going to be on the 0 Hour?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's going to be on the 0
The MXM collection is going to be on your 0 Hour. They had another one of these fantastic vignettes where they said that the time had come, and they are going to be making their debut at ROH Death Before Dishonor. I think you're right. And I said this on the prediction show on True Heel Heat. Go check it out yesterday. I think Roddy might win, and we have Undisputed Kingdom and Roddy with all the gold, and it's extremely transitional. Like, maybe we get Roddy and Shane Taylor and MXM taking the belt off of Undisputed Kingdom or something, so that they all win together, they all lose together, and then they can break up a faction that hasn't really been clicking in quite a while. I think that could be a really good way to go. And as far as them trying to reset the product, having one group with a ton of gold and easily setting up chases with MXM being the new guys in town, having this collection to reveal, and Shane seeing maybe Lee get gold, having called out his title shot and getting it off of Roddy, like, sign me up for that match any day of the week. Shane Taylor could cut a promo on a broomstick and it would be incredible. Like, he just does amazing work on the mic, and I would love to see that. MXM should feel like a big deal coming in here. I think they'll probably be in the title picture sooner than later. Your thoughts on these guys who said dinner has finally arrived here? This is the most tame. This is the least double entendres of the...
They said they're coming. They said they're coming.
They did
so.
Say they're coming, and they're coming hard, man. So God bless them. BlueChew.com, code Fightful.
This is great. This is great stuff.
If you don't have the support that maybe MXM does, but your thoughts on where this is all going?
I'm interested to see what they're going to do with their, what did they say, entree? They didn't even say debut. Their entree, their entree into Ring of Honor. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a reason to watch the 0 Hour. You know, sometimes I know people that don't always watch the pre-show, but saying that you're going to have a debut act on the pre-show makes you want to watch it. And then if you watch the pre-show, it makes you want to watch the pay-per-view. So I think it's a wise decision of having their debut there. I'm wondering if it's going to be in a match, if it's just going to be their in entree and them having a promo of sorts. It's very interesting point. But one thing that I thought about with what you're bringing up of maybe, you know, Roddy winning the world championship is, wouldn't it be cool if they had like a title change on one of these tapings on ROH TV? Like, I don't think that's happened yet. All the title changes usually happen on AEW TV. AEW TV or a pay-per-view. I would love it for on an ROH TV show, we get a title change of sorts. Give MXM a shot at the tag team titles and they win the titles on ROH TV. Even if it's, you know, taped in advance. You should have known for years, it's been known that if you tape something and it's a title change, that will make more people want to watch. More people will buy Honor Club just to watch, to see a title change. Fans love title changes. So I would love to see that. And I want to love to see their entree.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I think it's so smart to have that on the 0 Hour, because if there's anything we can derive from these wonderful weirdos who I love so much, it's they're gonna pop the live crowd, right? They're gonna get people's attention. They're gonna get people energized. Starting off the pay-per-view with like that level of excitement and engagement, I think is going to be great. I do still have concerns about our existing ROH tag teams. I mention it week over week, but I feel like it bears repeating week over week because of what I said earlier. Like, there's teams that have been there for a long time who have been getting wins, who are established. I do think a team like MXM coming in and winning builds the rising tide raises all ships, right? Like, I think that's how that could go. But I just hope that we have, I don't know, contenderships, SP3, or like stakes in any of these freaking tag matches. Like, but sign me up for the Infantry versus MXM. Sign me up for the Outrunners versus them. Baron Boulder versus them. Like, and it could be so, so much fun. So I think that's a good way to go. And to your point about title changes on TV, if they end up moving Honor Club to Max as a part of this deal, that first episode should be like coming out swinging so hard. And I didn't even mean a double entendre there, but appropriate us talking about MXM. So let's go, but let's continue on. Guys, get in those super chats if there's anything that you have questions about regarding Death Before Dishonor. We have some notes on the media call as well that came up not a lot of questions about ROH because there's not a lot to ask about regarding ROH right now, but hopefully there will be. We'll probably get some announcements coming out of that scrum, so stay tuned for all of that. But anything you want to talk about headed into this? We have more people watching than usual, so if you're like, hey, I'm getting caught up, feel free to send in a message via Super Chat about that. And also leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. This is our little post show that could. It's the paywalled services. So we always appreciate when you guys leave a thumbs up. It helps people find us in the algorithm. So there you go. Leave a like because we like you so much. Let's continue through this. SP3, I didn't even ask if you have a list today, but we're just going to motor through.
I do have a list on cue, but I can save it for the definitely for Dishonor review as well.
I think maybe we should. Let's work through this because then maybe we can get into some prediction-y stuff. But yes, we are motoring through our ROH episode tonight. We move on to Shane Taylor and Johnny TV with Taya defeating Lio Rush and Atlantis via pinfall with that Marcus Garvey driver, which always looks so good. Shane Taylor being like, Lucha stuff is cute, is fun. It's never not fun. I love it so much. It is a great time. Him and Johnny TV was not a pairing I thought was going to work. It worked. These guys know what they're doing.
It worked for a bit. It works for the end. It worked to get them the win because it did start off too well with Shane being like, what the hell are you doing out here? You're kissing your wife.
But it was like, that's perfect, right? Because they're headed into the sand. So like the can they coexistness of it all, I think, was played into this really, really well. But I liked that they still had their eyes on the prize. They're trying to get a W going into this. Shane getting the win over Atlantis too, I feel like it's probably indicative that he's not emerging with gold out of this, but it could set up some really fun feuds out of this multi-man match. And I think Shane and Atlantis, like Shane versus a luchador or a flippy do guy, is always so fun to me, not just because of the collision and styles, but because of Shane's attitude and the way you have this interactivity and momentum of Shane being like this unstoppable force and luchadors going a million miles an hour. It's like sometimes the luchadors get the leg up because they're just faster than Shane, and then other times they run into him and it's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon when the big guy puts his arm out and he's just like doing one of these. It's so much fun when we get that. And I'm looking forward to that, but I liked what we got out of this match. This was kind of a sleeper for me. I didn't have very high expectations, but this was great. Nice to see Atlantis Jr. in action on ROH TV here. What did you think of our tag team match, Oraitia?
I really thought this was a blast. I like all the guys involved. I like Johnny TV. He's just so worried about kissing his own wife. He's like a 10-year-old that kissed a girl for the first time. He just couldn't stop kissing his own wife. Like, you couldn't wait till the match was over to make out with your wife and stuff. Led to that great tope suicida from Lio Rush at the start of this matchup. And just seeing Lio Rush back in, you know, AEW, ROH is just a splendid thing to see. Like I said, I used to see Lio Rush with the flat top blonde hair when he first started off in Ring of Honor, and he was even smaller than when he first started off in Ring of Honor. He's grown, he's put on muscle since then, but he's still so fast in the ring. And like you said, him going at it, seeing him in the ring with someone the size of Shane Taylor is always going to be entertaining because it's always kind of like the cat and mouse where he tries to like get them on their back foot and use his speed to get the better of them. Atlantis Jr., he looked good in this matchup. I like his exchanges too with Johnny TV. Brought out more of the wrestling side of Johnny TV, which is always nice to see. But I thought all the characters work well together. I like Shane getting the victory in this one, especially over the Ring of Honor television champion, because even if he comes up short in Survival of the Fittest tomorrow, he can always hang that on his cap that he beat the champion right before for this big Survival of the Fittest, which makes me somewhat more sure that Atlantis Jr. will retain, because that's a natural feud to do coming out of this. And maybe we get Atlantis bringing on more talent from CMLL to go against Shane Taylor Promotions. And that would be a lot of fun. Give me a Mascarada Dorado. Give me a Mystico, even though Mystico, man, Mystico don't lose. The Mystico is the only one from CMLL outside of Atlantis Jr. that gets W's in AEW and ROH. So bring me some Mystico here. They are about to have a big trios matchup, I think, tomorrow on CMLL. There's a lot of wrestling going on tomorrow. SmackDown, Death Before Dishonor, and CMLL with Death Triangle versus Mystico, Volador Jr., and Mascarada Dorada. I would love to see those guys coming over to Ring of Honor and mixing that up. Use this partnership of CMLL to give us more talent that's different, that we never seen before, and it's going to draw more people in. And I think Tony kind of talked about that on the conference call today, that he wants to bring more luchadors while they're in Arlington, Texas. Texas is a big place for Lucha Libre, so I would love to see some more CMLL talent. And I think Atlantis Jr. holding on to that TV title and bringing them over is the way to do it.
I think that's a great call. I love the interpromotional aspect. I don't know why there's not more crossover with New Japan Strong in this brand. It feels like the most obvious thing in the world to me. I hope that we get more of that. And until then, though, I'm happy about CMLL. My only thing is, sometimes it's just like, here is luchadors. Like, there's never a storyline for them. So I'm hoping Atlantis Jr. having the title will create some lucha storylines, because way too many times it's been like, throw Vikingo in a four-pack and have him win sometimes and lose other times. Like, I cannot believe they went with the Acclaimed instead of the Lucha Brothers in the Blood and Guts match. Like, there are so many world-class luchadors around, and so few of them are in stories. And I am the whitest of white girls. I went to Home Goods today. I am could not be less in place to talk about representation. You know, I went to Home Goods. I did go to Home Goods. I needed to throw pillows, and I went to Home Goods. I am as white as they come.
I do agree with you, because I thought that, you know, All In, you could do Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, and FTR, the three greatest AEW World Tag Team Champions of all time, in my opinion. Seems like we're going to get more FTR, Bucks, and Acclaim. And only reason I will push back against them not, you know, Lucha Bros, I think it's okay that they weren't in Blood and Guts, because, yeah, Max Caster was probably my LVP for the whole entire matchup, but Anthony Bowens was my MVP, man. Ooh. He showed the hell out in that matchup. Like, I had high expectations for him being in Blood and Guts. I was upset with the Acclaim being in Blood and Guts in general, because I felt like it brought it down a bit, and it made the Team AEW kind of feel like a hodgepodge. But Anthony Bowen showed the hell out and showed a different side of himself and a different type of violence to himself that I didn't think that he had in him. And I've been a fan of Anthony Bowen since he was over on the East Coast, tearing it up at New York and Maryland and all these different places on the East Coast, that he was a big star and you knew he was going to be, you know, he had bigger things ahead of him. But man, he showed out and had one of his best performances since coming to AEW in Blood and Guts.
Yeah, because he wasn't held to the formula of I go show out, mic drop, famous or whatever. Sow seeds of dissension between those two guys, break them up, have Max Caster go to like the semifinals of the Continental Classic. Like Anthony Bowen. Did I say Caster? Or did I say Bowen?
Yeah, you said Caster.
Oh my goodness. Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. Have Bowens do what I just said, not Max Caster.
I see Shane Master saying they both had a great matchup. You could have fooled me, because I don't really remember Caster that much.
He took the tack spot in the mouth, and that's the only thing that was
notable. And he pulled out the cuffs. He helped him get the win. I'll give him that. He helped him get the win. He pulled out the cuffs. But, man, Bowens took the barbed wire board sandwich. He took the biggest spot off the cage, through the four tables, the Sammy Guevara spot. Like, he was putting his body on the line.
Let's, instead of the Acclaimed in this Wembley match, do GYV, FTR, Lucha Brothers, and the Young Bucks. Let's get weird. Max Caster, go back to the drawing board. Mansoor took 5 minutes to put you in the ground at your own gimmick. you're not good enough in the ring. I'm done. And people will be like, he has such heat because the internet hates it. He sucks. Like, he's not good right now. They were super over. They're not now. Go figure it out again because it's not good. They get a pop because of the entrance. The entrances are not good and it is unsustained. It drives me mad that there is a babyface that goes out there and consistently raps about sexual assault and I'm supposed to be rooting for this guy. It's ridiculous. He's extremely mediocre in the ring. Figure it the frick out and do something different because their trios run sucked. And they've been pretty bad since. Their eliminator match was fine because Bowens is in it. Let that guy go on a singles run.
Bowens is also the better talker of the two. Like, I thought for years in this group that this was like a New Age Outlaw 2.0 of Caster is the better talker, like Road Dogg was to Billy. Bowens was the worker of the two, like Billy was with Road Dogg. But he's both of them. He's the better talker now, he's the better worker. Like, what are we doing here?
Yo, listen, give me a Bowens singles run. I'm tired of Max Caster and Billy Gunn. Oh, sick! Moving on. Get in your super chats.
We needed a tirade. We needed it.
It drives me nuts because there's some people in this world that think go away heat isn't really go away heat because it's getting under people's skin. It makes me want to change the channel, and I would change the channel if I didn't cover this for a freaking living. Like, it drives me mad that because people pop at his entrance, people think that means something. It doesn't mean shit. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't. And I'm so frustrated by people being like, well, in the ratings, what? There are ratings that you have and you need to retain. And then there's ratings that you're missing out on by putting stuff that's good on your television. Jericho might have part of the highest ratings because he's Jericho. And if you did something better than the learning tree, those ratings would go up. So even if he's one of the highest rated acts on your program, that doesn't mean crap. It's because he's riding the coattails of his own legacy here of being good at this for 20 years. Now he's not good at wrestling anymore and the gimmick sucks. But because he's Chris Jericho, he's always going to get ratings. You are missing out on people who are not tuning into your stuff. Because you are a slave to this was the highest rated segment instead of what is the highest potential of what we could get and taking some risks. It drives me mad, and I think pretty much all companies fail at it. So,
agreed.
You got to
reach.
Double rants out of me after you went on an epic one last week, so I felt like I owed you something there, but you got two in a row from Kate. But I'll tell you what, we get Dolce Tormenta getting murdered by Abaddon here. Commentary saying that Abaddon is Paul White's favorite wrestler. So I'm intrigued to see if Paul White is going to be given Abaddon a little bit more opportunity than we've seen. But they pick up the win here with the Black Dahlia. Good showing for them. I didn't mind anything about this. Dolce Tormenta did what Dolce Tormenta was there to do in this. And get kind of smooshed here, but this was a longer episode. Nice to see Abaddon back out in front of a live crowd. They do good work, and I would like to see them get more consistent reps that are not just spooky time ones. Did cool stuff around the tournament. Would really, really like to see more consistency and maybe a build toward a title. It's just always kind of hard when you have those spookier gimmicks to merge them into a world with titles. Yeah. But I'm intrigued, and they've shown a lot of improvement in the ring. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this parlays into. That's what I think we're always asking about whenever we see a squash win. What are they building to? What are you trying to make this person? Why did you bring in this enhancement talent to enhance this talent for? What are you enhancing them for? What are you gearing them up for? So I think that's the big question. But I love seeing Abaddon. They are great at what they do. I just want to see more from them and what they can do in a title picture or even in a non-title feud like we've seen recently with Diamante and Layla Hirsch.
Yes. What are you doing around here is the grand question. Alex Pulaski had this really fun idea that they didn't follow through on, but could have been really fun, and now they can't because Julia Hart is injured. But the idea of having like House of Hearts and Abaddon being like an attack dog type person out of that, of just like there to inflict punishment whenever possible. I thought that was so cool because they don't really talk that much. You know what I mean? There's like a mystery there. And I think that could have been really fun if you had like the turned sky blue creepy version there and you had Julia Hart and then you had this just like attack dogs, kind of the perfect metaphor for it.
Abaddon is their Brody King of House of
Cards. Yeah, it could be very fun. Could be very fun. But me, Norma, saying, tonight you can call me Sir Loin of the Meat Castle. I really appreciate Caster and Jericho both going on a longer, do you think?
Going on a long vacation together.
That at this moment in time. I will always leave room for people to improve and to reinvent themselves or whatever. Jericho, I think, to be honest, I just feel like Jericho's kind of lost it in the ring. Like, a lot of people really liked his match versus Hook, and I was like, I felt like he was sandbagging all those suplexes. Like,
I can't tell you the last time I liked the Jericho match. I somewhat enjoyed Suzuki chopping his titty off. I mean
that's, I didn't like that. That's just good American fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, but the match wasn't very good, so I'm gonna say it was a wash. I think I'm all alone. I'm all alone with you guys. And I did see that two Lieutenant Cole photo said that Kate froze before, but I was hoping that was just an aberration, but we seem to have lost Kate here. But thank you for the super chat donation, Meet Normus. Now you two. Now, all of you in the chat are my co-hosts here as we talk about the rest of the show. I think the only other things that we missed out on, but thank you for the Super Chat donation. I'm hoping that Jericho goes on a vacation or just doesn't wrestle. Why does he always have to wrestle? Can we just get him just talking, just doing the learning tree stuff and get Big Bill and Brian Keefe in the ring? Like, we've barely seen Brian Keefe in the ring since he's joined the learning tree. I thought the whole point of him being in the learning tree was to see him wrestle on TV, but that's besides the point. There she is. She's back.
Hello, am I back?
Yes, you are.
I'm so sorry. This is the second time StreamYard has gotten really nasty with me, so we're back now. We are back in black here. My goodness. I'm so sorry about that. That happened on the prediction show, too. I know I'm not happy. They were like, Kate went on too many rants. We got to pull her off. Got to pull her off this stream. But we'll keep on moving now that I am back here. But my goodness, thanks for hanging out there for a minute, SV3. But at least I was able to get back on, not via my phone this time. So
improvement.
But
improvement.
We got another from yesterday. And that happened with Mark Order, too. Something's going on with my StreamYard instance. I probably gotta get myself logged out and in again, but we have another multi-person match here. We get Action Andretti, Fuego del Sol, Commander, and Top Flight defeating Anthony Henry, who announced with JD Drake that JD Drake is unfortunately out with injury right now. Nick Camarado and the Iron Savages, they in the pinfall. This is kind of what I was talking about, and like, hey, let's throw a bunch of flippy guys into a thing. And it seems like the Iron Savages, unfortunately, are like, you're going to be the base for those flippy guys for no reason at all. And sometimes Jack Jameson will be with you and sometimes not. These guys deserve better. They deserve more consistent booking. I could preach that till the cows come home. But what were your thoughts on this match? The match was super fun. It just, again, superfluous, doesn't really fully mean anything here.
Man, Nick Camarado is a meat house. He is huge. Yes. Like, he looks bigger every time we see him. And like, when he did that little flex at the end, I was like, did you eat the same things that Cash Wheeler was eating? Like, damn, like his muscles had muscles on top of them. Like, it was ridiculous. But it was fun to see Fuego del Sol, a good friend of the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. We had him over there. So very nice to see him back over here hitting the best tornado DDT in the business today. Commander got to look good. And Top Flight, Action Andretti, they're always good when we see them. I just want to see them. Just decide if you're going to push them on AEW or if you want to, if it's more, if they have a higher ceiling on Ring of Honor, then finally just pull the trigger on pushing them. You've always teased this. They had that great rivalry last year with the Kingdom where they beat the Kingdom. Then, you know, you get Dante back and it looked like you were going to push them on AEW. They're feuding with Private Party, I think earlier this year. Feels like a million years ago, but it was just earlier this year. You did that little mini rivalry with them in Private Party. But like on ROH, it just seems like they have a higher ceiling. They could be your Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions with Action Andretti. Just pull the damn trigger. Stop punk faking. Stop honey dicking me. Stop giving me bull balls with Top Flight all the time. Damn.
We do not want Top Flight blue balls. That's a very, very fair thing from SP3, but I agree with you, and it is frustrating because AEW used to have like the tag division, man. That was it. Like they were the best tag division in the world. And Sting and Darby vacated. I was like, make or break time. Like do something with this tournament to make it feel like this tag division's a big deal. And they just set up FTR and Bucks again. And I was like, you did not need to go through all this, especially with the evil EVPs. They could have just been like, we win. So it was just very, very frustrating. But I feel like they missed the boat on so many great tag teams with Private Party and making Top Flight. And I was a bit, kind of when they're like mercenary role, but like this tag division used to be like a place where you could go for tag team wrestling, and now it feels like the Bucks aren't defending their titles at all. Like, I get what they're doing as heels, but like, it would be nice. It would be nice to see the Bucks actually defending their tag titles around here.
I just don't understand why they can't defend the titles. Like, FTR pointed out that they haven't defended the titles since they won them. Like, are they Billy Starks or something? Like, what are we doing?
Why is nobody defending titles? Why are we Roman Reignsing around here?
Why does ROH and AEW have so many champions that don't defend titles? Tomorrow's going to be Willie Yuta's first title defense in 6 months. It's going to be Billy Stark's first title defense in 3 months. It feels like you're going to wait until All In for the Bucks to defend their titles for the first time in 4 months. Like, what are we doing?
Also, like, sometimes we strip the titles, sometimes we don't. And sometimes when we merge the titles, ones disappear and others don't. Like, pick a freaking lane, but
all over the place.
We are coming down the home stretch, guys. Get in those super chats. Am I, like, in Robotville? Am I choppy?
Yeah, a little choppy. But we're making it through. We're making it through. You did the one thing where you froze and then you were like talking the whole time while you were froze, and then it did the speed up. It was like you fast forward and do this. It was cool.
I wish I could, but I don't want to be able to just like, I want to have control over being able to do that. Damn it. But we move on. We get the Von Erichs with Kevin Von Erich defeating the Dark Order with Evil Uno via pinfall lariat. This was good. I did not hear the stakes of things, so I am glad that you did. This is good stuff. This was a good match. I want the Dark Order to feel important. The Von Erichs being a hometown crowd favorite is fun. They do some good work. Former MLW tag team champions as well. Some good stuff there. This was all suitable. I'm glad that it meant something because I missed what you had said. So it's good that we're like leaning towards having a six-man presence on ROH at least, no matter what that's going to look like. But this was a fun name. The Dark Order being featured as a healthy sign. They've gotten a couple of consistent reps here, which makes me happy. What did you think of our main event tonight?
Pretty decent affair. Man, I really like Marshall Von Erich. Like he's still green. Like that drop kick, just it looked like his feet were going everywhere on that drop kick. Like I was just like, he got up, but he just, his feet was going everywhere, and you could see his feet because he didn't have boots on. But he has a, he just has a great look to him. He has great potential. I like the comparison, you know, Ian and Caprice made to Kerry Von Erich. He has that kind of aura to him of a young Kerry Von Erich. So once he gets more seasoning behind him, man, he can really be the star of the team. I think Ross is a good, you know, person to be beside him because he kind of is more polished in the ring and he's kind of got that. But I think that Marshall is the one that has kind of more the star power to him. But this was a pretty decent affair. It's setting up the trios matchup on the pay-per-view. They also announced Commander will be going one-on-one with Beast Mortos, proving Kate right again, because this is once again, hey, two luchadors, go out there and have a great match. That's what they do.
We tell no lies.
We tell no lies here.
SB3, plug our prediction show on the True Heel Heat podcast, because we did one over there. But any last minute things that you think might sneak their way onto this card? Any surprises that you're expecting at Death Before Dishonor?
I can see more AEW talent showing up on this show. You know, like you said, they announced Beast Mortos and Commander on the show. I could see maybe Timeless Toni Storm is going to be on Battle of the Belts. Maybe she shows up. Who knows? You never know with this type of stuff. Or maybe an AEW talent coming to ROH to challenge Athena or Queen Amanada after the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. I saw one idea, I think I saw it on social media, of Mercedes Moné wants to collect more titles. Maybe we see something like that. I think that seems out of the realm of possibility, but it can happen. You never know. But I think that, yeah, we could see an AEW Women's star come to Ring of Honor at Death Before Dishonor to challenge the winner of Queen Amanada and Athena. But yes, go to the True Heel Heat YouTube channel. We did our ROH Death Before Dishonor preview where we broke down the major matches that were already announced with the TV title, the Ring of Honor World Championship, Women's TV title, Women's World Championship. We did our predictions over there. My prediction for this Eliminator matchup, I think Dustin and the Von Erichs get the win to set up them versus Undisputed Kingdom at Battle of the Belts. What do you think, Kate?
I'm going to go with you there, too. I think, why not? Why not pop the hometown crowd? I think that's a fun way to go. SB3 and I will have your Death Before Dishonor post show on Fightful YouTube. You're going to have Phil Lindsay and Alex Cardoza on your SmackDown post show. I'm going to be doing ROH duty over there. But we get one more super chat from Will saying, Top Flight is Chase Brown when we think he's going to kick the... I think you meant Charlie Brown. When we think he's going to kick the football, but he doesn't. It kind of is. Some of it has just been health issues with them, right? But like, yeah, they're both healthy now. Let's do something with them as a proper tag team. Not a trio with Action Andretti. If anything, one with Leo. I think it'd be more fun. Yeah, we are going to bring on Joel and Cresta as my internet is trying to quit. My internet and I are in an I quit match, and I'm the one who's going to quit. But we're going to bring Joel and Cresta on. Got your fallout from Slammiversary. How you doing, guys?
Hi.
Hi. Not you having an I quit match with your internet and the internet winning. It's crazy.
Story of my life.
It's true.
Story of my life. Feeling dreepy with it here. Diamante, her number one contender. I love idea. As far as SP3's idea of maybe AEW main roster talent coming on down, I think Thunder Rosa might be the one. Might be the one for something like that. But how was TNA? Nick Nemeth spoke. How was that?
He spoke and he did.
He said
this is words. Joel's second time seeing it. He's Joel's McAddit.
Father.
He's McAddit.
I saw it. I saw this. I saw next week's. I'm a little, I will say this. I'm
well,
a little.
Sorry, you're so in the freaking know, Joel. Okay.
He's so
some
dated.
Of us plebes have to watch it after the fact.
Fine. It's fine.
I had a good time. It's my first time seeing it. I popped for Joe Hendry for free.
Look, at least you're allowed to see.
I popped for Joe Hendry.
At least you're allowed to see it, Kate. At least you're allowed to see it.
Hey, that is not always the case when it comes to TNA content and peripheral content, but I always appreciate when I am able to see talent showcased in a proper and meaningful way. So some good stuff there, but we're going to get out of here. We're going to let you take over the fallout from Slammiversary. Again, you will have me and SP3 on your Death Before Dishonor post show tomorrow. And you will have Alex Cardoza and Phil Lindsay, who's also going to be bringing you the SummerSlam post show on the main channel as well. So we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much. Support this TNA show.
Yes.
We out.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Don't want to be a fool for you. Fun fact, SP3 is in the UK right now.
Yes, he's been there.
So it's like 2 a.m.
He's been there for a while. I don't know if he missed it.
SP3 is out here doing the Wrestle Lord's work. And shout out to you for staying up to 2 a.m. to do this with us. Thanks, SP3.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.